for Clean Energy. I'd like to thank you for joining us for today's webinar titled Takeaways from the Final 2015 Tennessee Valley Authority Integrated Resource Plan. My name is Erin Cameron, and I'm the Development and Outreach Coordinator for Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. Before we get started today, I just wanted to take a moment to review the basic functions of the control panel on your screen. If you'd like to minimize your control panel, just select the orange arrow in the left-hand corner and do the same to bring it back up. To ensure sound quality, all attendee lines will be muted throughout this presentation, but we encourage you to please type in any questions you may have in the questions box on your control panel. And we have a number of panelists who will help to answer your questions at the very end during the Q&A portion of today's presentation. For over 30 years, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy has worked to promote responsible energy choices that work to address the impacts of global climate change and ensure clean, safe, and healthy communities throughout the Southeast. We are a membership organization, and I wanted to thank our members who are on this call and encourage those of you who are not members to please join us today. You truly help to make this critical work and educational opportunities like this possible. If you'd like to learn more about the benefits of being a SACE member and how you can become a SACE member, please check out our website, cleanenergy.org, or feel free to contact me directly at erin@cleanenergy.org. And now to lead us through the presentations today, I'm going to hand it over to SACE Director of Research, John Wilson. John?
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us today, and we're pleased to share with you some insights from the 2015 TVA Integrated Resource Plan. As many of you may know from prior presentations we've given on these topics, an integrated resource plan is a plan that helps a utility identify what sort of power plants and other major investments it may need over both the short term and the long term, 20 years. It starts out with a forecast of annual energy peaks and energy demand, which sort of set its goals. You know, what do we need to serve? What are our customers likely to want from us? And that also includes a reserve margin to ensure that the company has enough power to meet unexpected changes in demand. From a legal point of view, this plan does not actually require TVA to do any specific action. It really is more a scenario and strategic planning exercise, but the board will be acting on it and giving the staff direction over in the August meeting and beyond based on this plan. And we have seen that in the past, the 2011 TVA IRP was actually pretty instrumental in driving some substantial changes at the utility. So today we're going to take a look at what the final plan for 2015 includes and discuss some recommendations. Reviewing most of the plan findings and other information about the plan will be Angela Groney, our energy research attorney, and I will be jumping in occasionally to talk about a few recommendations that we have for next steps for TVA. So Angela, take it away.
Great. Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today as we go through the major takeaways on the final IRP. Starting off, I just wanted to kind of give us a little perspective about where we are currently in terms of TVA's energy generation resources. So this chart you see here is the capacity for the baseline case in the IRP. And so as you can see, you know, it's decently balanced amongst gas, coal, hydro, and nuclear, and this is the baseline case going into 2030 in terms of you see coal getting a little smaller and gas getting a little bigger, and we'll go into more about that. But this is where we are today with TVA's generation and their expected where they would be in the future if they did business as usual. And I wanted to, you know, highlight this because it's really important in terms of the IRP process. TVA really went above and beyond in terms of stakeholder engagement from what's required. Not only were several stakeholder groups involved, which SACE was a member of each of these, so you have the dedicated IRP working groups that SACE had staff on. Then you also have resource-specific planning groups for both energy efficiency and renewable energy, as well as the Federal Advisory Committee, the Regional Energy Resource Council, which our Executive Director, Dr. Stephen Smith, is on and acts as a advisory council straight to the TVA Board of Directors. So each of these groups met throughout the almost two-year IRP process and engage with TVA staff in order to get to where we are in terms of where the final IRP is. Additionally, in terms of public outreach, TVA had numerous meetings, both scoping before the IRP. They did a roadshow across the service territory on the takeaways from the draft IRP when that came out. And they also continued to engage with the working group throughout the public comment period. And the feedback they received during the public comment period, both public input and input from the stakeholder groups, TVA took that and actually agreed to conduct certain sensitivity analyses based on that feedback, which were wrapped into the final IRP. And we can talk about that more, but I just really wanted to highlight that it was a really robust stakeholder engagement throughout the process. And then this is another important point that's unique to TVA. As a federal agency, the Tennessee Valley Authority has to comply with the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA. And basically, that requires that, along with the resource planning, TVA take a hard look at the expected environmental impacts of each scenario, energy planning scenario. And those are impacts ranging from the direct environmental impacts to impacts on historic landmarks, all the way to impacts on economic, the economic situation in the valley. And this ultimately came out as a supplemental environmental impact statement, supplemental being the operative word as it adds to the environmental impact statement that came out with the 2011 IRP. And so we're not really going to touch much on this except for to say that generally across all scenarios and strategies, there were no huge impacts from one resource planning choice to the other. But we're happy to kind of talk more offline about that if people have questions about the environmental assessment part of this. And this is just a quick slide from TVA's actual documents that shows what their resource planning process was step by step. So, you know, we're now at the bottom here with the selected preferred portfolio, but it starts with TVA developing a load forecast, defining existing generation resources, and figuring out what's the need for resources, both short-term and long-term, then analyzing and identifying those resource options, and then we get to where we are now with the selected preferred portfolio. And this is another chart from TVA. This basically is just showing where TVA under each scenario. And I guess to take a step back for those who aren't familiar with the two phrases, so scenario is actually an imagined future that TVA has agreed on. So there's five of those, and then there are five strategies that TVA looks at for each and applies to each scenario. So this is a simple line graph that shows under each scenario, current outlook, stagnant economy, growth economy, decarbonized future, and distributed marketplace. Each one of these has basically the projected capacity needs under each one going into the 2030 timeline. So this, kind of to start off talking about the results here from the final IRP, as I said, the TVA looked at each scenario and applied strategies to determine what the final IRP recommendations would be in terms of capacity planning for new generation resources. And, you know, what you see here is just both the recommended range that came out in the IRP, so that's the blue bar, as well as the range from all the IRP scenarios of where they could have been. So as you see, for example, to take wind for an example, the range is quite large for long-term wind because there was a maximized renewable energy scenario. So that would be the longer end. And then as you can see, TVA it recommends the blue bar there. And so we can I'll go to the next slide for a little more visual here, but as you can see, you know, there's natural gas as capacity additions are, you know, in the short and long term, one of the more major capacity additions. And so this is just another graph. We won't really go into the nitty-gritty here, but as you can see, this is just a good visual example of how all of the strategies were analyzed under the different scenarios. And it shows each resource capacity addition. The colors there denote different resources, and you can kind of see that, you know, EE is, you know, there for, you know, obviously much bigger in strategy D, but does show up, you know, a decent amount across all of the strategies under each scenario, as well as coal goes, is reduced under each scenario as well. So there are some kind of uniform takeaways, but you can also see there's a lot of range here in terms of the effects of scenarios on strategies. And so this this chart is just more, we wanted to kind of highlight this pulled out block here, because when you look at it generally, it kind of seems like it's really heavy on natural gas capacity, but really in terms of what the increment of increase between, you know, what TVA's already planned to where it's going, actually a lot of those gas decisions have already been kind of baked in. So for example, at the Paradise coal plant, two units were retired and will be replaced with a combined cycle natural gas plant. The entire Allen coal plant in Memphis, Tennessee will be retired and replaced with a natural gas combined cycle plant. So those additions are already included, and as you see, if you look from 2020 to 2033 here on the pulled out box here, you'll see that actually there's a 12, and these are in terawatt hours, so you'll actually see a difference of 12 for energy efficiency demand response from 2020 to 2033 compared to, you know, 6 terawatt hour change for gas in the same time period. So it's just kind of important to look at it from this way, because you can see that, you know, although there will be significant gas capacity additions, that they're not the overall resource growth from the IRP is not necessarily constrained just to gas. And so this, you know, we just wanted to give you a slide really with the major takeaways now that we've seen the graph, the graphs of exactly what's happening. So, you know, overall in terms of TVA's projected load growth, they have shown in the IRP that that growth is slowing, and that, you know, 1% growth per year is pretty much the base case. That realization is what really led to no new base load, in quotes there, base load power, meaning if you're not familiar with that term, basically power that must run. So that's your nuclear plants, your hydro plants. The gas plants are mainly peaker plants, and so kind of back to the point that gas is not the major capacity add when you think about those gas plants are running to meet peak demand and are not, you know, your traditional baseload generation resources. So the only real new baseload power that's going to take place as a result of the planning recommendations in the IRP is the Browns Ferry nuclear uprate. Otherwise, there's no plans for new coal, no plans for new nuclear coming out of the IRP, which is good news. And I'll show you a graph to this third bullet shortly, but basically, you know, TVA has said that the least cost plan coming out of the Clean Power Plan out of the IRP appears to meet the Clean Power Plan, which has been in the news since it was officially announced yesterday. This is, you know, important to note that this is for TVA as a utility, which spans 7 states and not necessarily Tennessee as a state. The Clean Power Plan requires a state-by-state compliance option, and so, you know, that's just important to keep that difference, that TVA is reducing carbon emissions, continues to reduce carbon emissions with these decisions to close coal plants, but, you know, we just don't want to, we haven't done the analysis yet to figure out if that means that Tennessee is in pretty good shape. Additionally, you know, the coal use will be cut by half with continued possible retirements at the Shawnee, Kingston, and Bull Run plants throughout the planning period, depending on demand and other resource choices. Solar, and we'll go into this in more detail, but solar is adopted in the IRP, but it's a more gradual adoption than perhaps some of us had hoped for. But it is, you know, adopted in decent amounts, both in the short term and long term. And you know, their energy efficiency is on a growth trajectory based on the IRP. It's not high enough for TVA to be the true regional leader that it wants to be, but it is growing. So that is a positive. And this is the graph just to kind of show you here. These are all the different scenarios and the the TPS is actually the target plan scenario here, and that is basically the line that represents what the recommended plan's carbon emission trajectory is. And as you can see, you know, starting from 2014, under each scenario, it is reduced across the longer timeline. And the TPS scenario matches pretty closely with the lowest carbon emission scenarios. That's where, you know, we're getting the evidence that TVA is in a pretty good place in terms of clean power plan compliance. And so, John, I think this is where we hand it back over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. So everybody, we're not going to get too much into the weeds on how TVA evaluated energy efficiency. We've covered that quite a bit in previous webinars, and we're certainly happy to answer questions on that during Q&A. So what we wanted to do is talk about kind of looking forward, what should TVA be doing with energy efficiency? And the first thing is that as energy efficiency is recommended for growth, we want to make sure that TVA, first of all, restores energy efficiency to the trajectory it was on before the budget was cut in 2014, and really go beyond that. So we want to recommend that TVA increase the efficiency budget by 50% each year until it actually truly becomes a leader in the region on efficiency. Of course, we do want to make sure that TVA's energy efficiency spending remains cost effective. That's not anything that TVA should have any issue with, but you know, it's really not about spending money. It's about saving people, saving customers and the system and money. And that's a really important thing. And of course, it does contribute substantially to achieving the Clean Power Plan targets. You know, what we've seen in the past year or two has been that the budget caps that TVA has have meant that certain customers have not had the access that they wanted to the energy efficiency programs, and that there have been program design changes that really limit the effectiveness of those programs. So we want to get rid of those features, so to speak, of the budget caps. The other thing we want to recommend on energy efficiency is to really reinvigorate how TVA runs its programs and consults with outside parties through the Energy Efficiency Information Exchange. This is a group that TVA set up but really has not effectively utilized to date. And so we definitely want to see all of these kinds of specific program management and program planning activities get aired with stakeholders and get really a broader buy-in so that TVA can be more effective in running its efficiency programs. And just to kind of pivot to the next slide and show you sort of where that would send TVA, right now TVA is sort of a middling utility in the region. It's holding back quite as much as many of the Florida utilities, but it's also not as aggressive as Duke Energy Carolinas, Gulf Power, Duke Energy Progress, that sort of thing. Those are utilities that are really leading the Southeast. And then over on the right, you can see that Entergy Arkansas has really now emerged as the regional leader on energy efficiency. Unfortunately, the target that was adopted in TVA's IRP cuts substantially from the 2011 target down to the 2015 target. But we want to see TVA move up to and hopefully go beyond that 2015 target as TVA learns with its local power companies to be more effective in delivering efficiency. So that's kind of where we'd like to see TVA go with efficiency. So, Angela, why don't you chat with everybody about renewable energy?
Great. Yep. Gladly. So this, you know, wanted to kind of highlight the major takeaways from the renewable energy plans outlined in the IRP. You know, overall, in general, TVA has said that, you know, they will continue to update the cost and performance assumptions for particularly wind, but in general, they've said that additional renewable energy generation resource options will be highly dependent on pricing performance and the cost of integrating those resources into the grid. So just quickly by the numbers, you can see solar, they have a range of anywhere from adding 150 to 800 megawatts by 2023. And in the long term, anywhere from, you know, 3,150 to 3,800 megawatts. So, you know, like we said before, it's gradual, but it is a significant amount of solar for where TVA is currently with solar. And it's evidenced by TVA's recent announcement of a project in northern Alabama with NextEra for a solar farm. It's also TVA's beginning to see it's a very cost-effective resource option. The wind is a slightly different story. The short term, not much wind at all to really speak of. The long term, 500 to 1,750 megawatts. And this is where TVA, as a result of some of the sensitivity analysis and in general engagement with the stakeholders on really the continual dropping price of wind and the availability of high voltage direct current wind that's high performing, high capacity, that TVA will continue to assess both the cost and performance and integration issues of and putting more wind on their system. And they will kind of push that towards the first 10 years of the plan to try and get a little more potentially wind production in the short-term planning of the IRP. And, you know, just a little highlight, TVA is the owner of the only real wind farm we have here in the Southeast, and that's the picture you see here. So for solar, just a little more detail here. There's, you know, next 5-10 years, we're going to see about a gigawatt. And they this amount of penetration for solar is actually significant, given that TVA did assume slightly higher than market prices for solar. And which is why I think they will continue to truth check those assumptions as we likely see continual falling prices for solar energy. So there could be actually higher quantities if the cost effectiveness of solar is kind of further seen as TVA analyzes cost and performance for renewable energy. It's also important to point out that the IRP only modeled utility scale solar because that's what they, it's easier to model, and they don't have a lot of control of the distributed generation penetration across the valley, and also they have a separate process going on for distributed generation valuation study to assess really the true value of rooftop solar to the system. So the solar that is mentioned in the IRP are utility scale solar, and here's an example of the large, you know, 5-megawatt West Tennessee solar farm over in between Nashville and Memphis. And so that's a good example of how utility scale solar can really grow and actually provide economic development to areas that perhaps have lost that opportunity due to either poor quality agricultural land or brownfields. And they could also, you know, depending on large warehouses availability of those rooftops, you could do utility scale solar there. So it is important to note the difference of what was modeled, and that although utility scale solar is easier to model, it definitely should not be the only solar development that's seen in the valley. Rooftop is equally important in distributed generation rooftop. And this is a map that we've put together to highlight exactly where there would be beneficial for TVA to develop utility scale solar, so the tracking systems. We've highlighted in the red stars the top 10 sites. And as you can see, those are all located on the western grid of Tennessee, of TVA's service territory, so in and around Memphis, northern Mississippi, and northwestern Tennessee. And the blue dots are, you know, basically where they would be also. They would also be well-performing, but perhaps potentially better for rooftop generation, but also utility-scale solar. But in general, excuse me, rooftop solar is pretty much well-suited for anywhere across the valley. And then for wind here, just to kind of explain in a little more detail, that they what was looked at the IRP were three different wind technology resources, and ultimately the stakeholder engagement aside, as we tried to push this issue, but ultimately TVA assumed cost and performance assumptions for for wind that were outdated, but did acknowledge as part of the results of the sensitivity analysis and acknowledged in the final IRP, they will continue to update those costs. So we're hopeful that as they learn more about the true low cost of wind energy and the availability of high voltage direct capacity, HVDC wind, that they'll actually see a little more development in the near term. And this, like the solar example, is another map to show really where the potential wind development is. There's actually, back last year around this time, Apex Wind Energy announced that it will be developing a project around Gibson County, Tennessee, that could potentially be 150 megawatts of in-valley solar. And so that's the difference between in-valley and out-valley. HVDC is actually outside and would be brought in through transmission lines. In-valley would be produced within the TVA service territory. There's also potentially another NextEra development in Huntsville, around Huntsville, Alabama, that is in the works. And there was another one down Pioneers in Cherokee County, Alabama, but that one is currently being blocked by a move by the Alabama legislature. So, but we do have two potential in-valley wind projects. And so, you know, this is to this point here about what does this really mean for the valley and the clean energy economy. The contracts ultimately that are the TVA enters into with renewable energy industry will be driven by how TVA really values that addition to the system, and hopefully that value will only increase as TVA continues to analyze the real benefits of renewable energy. And the focus on utility scale solar will remain. And we think that even though TVA did not address that growth of distributed rooftop solar, that the parallel process of the DGIV will hopefully lead to further penetration of rooftop solar. And also we wanted to highlight quickly, there was a report recently released by environmental entrepreneurs with research done by BW Research that shows, did basically a poll and assessed how many clean energy jobs are currently in Tennessee. And the result was that around, you know, a little over 44,000 exist currently. And that in the last year, there's been a growth of 6.3%. That actually that growth is three times the overall state job growth. So it's, you know, one of the faster growing job opportunities and economic opportunities for the state. And that of those clean energy jobs, energy efficiency jobs make up 47%. And that's important. Energy efficiency jobs are not outsourced. And so therefore they stay local and they stay within our state and within the region. And so that's why it's important to really think about what the IRP could mean for economic development of clean energy, and that's also an important thing to think about in the context of the Clean Power Plan as well, which has some further incentives for clean energy projects. And so I believe I'll be passing it back over to John to go through the actual recommendations for what to do with renewable energy throughout the IRP planning process.
Thank you. So we have one major recommendation, and it reflects the fact that TVA's scale of effort on renewable energy laid out in the IRP is much larger than it's ever had in the past. And so our recommendation to the board is that they direct their staff to come up with a renewable energy development plan that really puts renewable energy on the same level of planning and sort of sophistication as they have put into their conventional energy development. Certainly there's a large number of departments and a lot of forward thinking that goes into deciding to build a new power plant or build a new transmission line. But with respect to solar and wind, TVA has been certainly very engaged in a lot of evaluations of proposals, but they have not really driven the acquisition of major projects, identified where they would like those projects to be, what kind of performance they would like to have, and that sort of thing. And so we've suggested that something needs to be put forward that really lays out how TVA is going to manage and direct this approach going forward. And we've identified three areas that we think should be a part of that plan. There's probably other things that we are overlooking, or maybe a slightly different approach. But just to give you a sense of what we mean, first, we think there's a need to designate solar energy development zones and look at the areas of TVA where the large projects are most advantageous to TVA, both from a performance point of view and from the point of view of being ready to connect into the TVA's transmission system without requiring major upgrades. And we think that any projects that sort of meet those criteria might be able to get some kind of expedited review process for being interconnected. The second thing is to look at solar and wind as partner resources. Solar has a summer peak, wind has a winter peak, and reflecting that complementary nature means that those resources need to be developed, maybe not exactly equally, but there needs to be a balance and a attention to encouraging both of those kinds of resources to be brought onto the system in a way that the market can supply. And then finally, we want TVA to sort of use some kind of an RFP process in order to give developers a sense of what kind of cost and performance targets it would like those developers to achieve. Georgia Power did a great job of this with their advanced solar initiative process, putting out benchmarks and telling solar developers exactly how their projects would be evaluated. And Georgia Power, as a result, got great value out of the results of that RFP. And we'd like to see that kind of approach adapted to TVA circumstances. So we think this would really put TVA in a forward-leaning position on renewable energy rather than sort of on a, isn't that interesting kind of approach, which, you know, is not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but hasn't really created the momentum that we think would best serve TVA's customers. Then we've got one final recommendation on a topic we haven't really explored in detail during the call yet, and that's the Bellefonte nuclear units. As many people may be familiar with, units 1 and 2 have been stalled for, I've forgotten how many years, but a really long time, and then it keeps coming up that maybe the TVA should complete them. This IRP, we think, really closes the door firmly to that. There's been no appetite in the past few years at TVA to really reinitiate these projects, and TVA indicates that none of the strategies in the IRP include completion of these units. It just doesn't have the value to customers that is needed. And yet TVA is spending $66 million per year, and we think that reallocating this money to energy efficiency would be a great first step towards increasing the efficiency budget and not continuing to spend money on preserving Bellefonte for future development that is now certain never to occur. So this is consistent with TVA's approach to this unit, and we think that this, there's no need to continue evaluating and putting off this decision. It's time to make this decision and move forward. So with that, let me sort of talk about the next steps in terms of the how folks listening to the call can be involved. There's going to be a board of directors meeting on August 21st. You are certainly welcome to communicate your thoughts and opinions to the board of directors, and we're certainly happy to continue to share our thoughts and opinions with you as you do that. But also keep in mind that the IRP is not an absolute. It's a directional document, and certainly weighing in on the programs and the resources that TVA is going to make is an important thing to continue doing and continue being engaged with TVA as they update their planning process between now and their next IRP, which could be in the next 4 to 5 years. So with that, very much appreciate you all listening to this, and Angela, I think, is going to handle Q&A.
Right, great. Thanks, John. Yeah, and please feel free to use the control panel to submit questions here. I wanted to start off with the first question. It's pretty easy. I could handle it, which is the source for those clean energy job numbers, the Tennessee report. That was research was conducted by BW Research, and they actually did the polling and reached out to the clean energy industry here in the state, and then Environmental Entrepreneurs was the group that released and wrote the report. And if you want more information about that, Taylor Allred on our staff wrote a great blog about it, and you can reach out. There's my email address. You can reach out to me, and we can get you more information on that if you want to know more. It's a great report and really shows what, clean energy is already doing for this state and what it could, what we could really see in terms of job numbers and impacts there. So another question here, and then we'll kind of say staff figure out who wants to address this, but basically there's been some talk about small modular reactors, and how did that fit in, if at all, in this IRP?
Well, Sarah, why don't you take that one? At least give it a shot, and if you have some points you'd like me to fill in on, I'm happy to. Sarah Barzak is our lead on high-risk nuclear energy issues. Sarah, you unmuted?
Yep, I'm here. Thanks for everybody being on the webinar. Yeah, small modular reactors, they were not part of the scenarios moving forward, but they're being viewed sort of as a special project by TVA, and I think those of you who have been tracking it know that the plan that TVA has is to, in the potentially as early as the spring of 2016, file an application with the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission for an early site permit for a yet unspecified small modular reactor design, because there are actually no applications in yet for a reactor design. So if that puts a big question mark on your in your mind, that's for a good reason. And they would be proposing this at the Clinch River site in Tennessee, which is the site that they tried to do breeder reactors at quite a long time ago and abandoned that bad idea. So it is a concern of ours that small modular reactors are still sort of hanging out there and are not, I don't know the right way to say it, John, not evaluated in the same way that
they were evaluated. Yeah, Sarah, they were evaluated in the IRP. They were not selected in any of the scenarios, and they did do some sensitivity tests to see sort of what role they might play if they did become cost effective. You know, my opinion, having viewed all that data, is that it's a real long shot at best to think that small modular reactors are going to play a role in the next 20 years of TVA's energy generation. Maybe there's a day in the future where they play a role. I'm not advocating that, certainly, but you know, speaking about the IRP, which is the topic of today's discussion, there's no support for small modular reactors that I can see in any of the data that TVA generated during this process.
All right, great, thanks. Okay, so the next question we have was directed about the distributed generation solar process that was mentioned as being parallel to the IRP. Maybe Toni Nelson on our staff wants to handle that question. She's in charge of our solar work in the TVA area.
Sure. Thanks, Angela. So just to clarify, while TVA did include a distributed marketplace scenario that looked at the impact of what we call distributed generation, so people putting energy resources, you know, on their own properties, that type of thing. They did not actually include the distributed solar generation as a resource option, you know, except to the extent that large and small commercial PV are considered distributed generation. So it's an important area. When you look at the potential of rooftop solar capacity in TVA service territory, we're looking at, you know, 30,000 megawatts. Potentially quite large, the number of rooftops that are available and, you know, what could actually be put on them. And what TVA has been doing on a parallel track for just over a year now is going through a process to develop a methodology that will value these resources. So it's called the DGIV methodology, or the Distributed Generation Integrated Value methodology. And what they've done is they've gathered, you know, a group of stakeholders that includes environmental groups like SAFE, as well as the local power companies, representatives of the solar industry, you know, key stakeholders in this industry, and are kind of walking through, you know, how you can come up with a methodology that will value the costs and benefits of distributed generation to the grid. So looking for values that, you know, are quantifiable and that are agreed to, you know, by kind of this broad stakeholder group, but also recognizing that there are other values, you know, that could potentially be included in the methodology at a later date. So the group has been meeting and kind of developing the methodology over the past year. It's very close to finalizing the methodology. It will include both kind of the agreed upon value for the methodology components, you know, that kind of have universal buy-in, and then it will have some additional values that are essentially placeholders that will, you know, may be added to the value, you know, as you move forward. But it is an evolving methodology. The important part of this is that it will actually be used to inform program development for the next stage or the next year of TVA programs related to distributed generation, how those will be valued, what kind of incentives will be offered, that type of thing. So we'll be moving into the program design phase probably next month or sometime in the early fall, and you know the methodology will be informing that process. So look for that methodology to be released, I'd say, sometime later this month, and then, like I said, it will be feeding into the program design phase for the next generation of distributed generation program incentives.
Great. Thanks, Tony. It's really helpful. So the next question, I'm actually going to go backwards here in the slide deck to reference the slide. The question was basically, and I think Taylor Allred, our energy policy manager, can help explain this, but basically what was behind this large gap we saw between where the IRP target for energy efficiency was in 2011 and where it is now?
Sure. Thanks, Angela. So there are definitely a number of factors at play there. Of course, in 2011, TVA was not actually modeling energy efficiency as a resource. One ask that we had at that time was for them to do so during the next round, and it was heartening to see that they decided to do that for the 2015 IRP. But once we got the results, it was very disheartening to see that they used a methodology that really constrains energy efficiency unreasonably on a number of fronts. And the way that they did that was to make a series of assumptions on the inputs going into the model, both with respect to the number of blocks of efficiency, breaking it out into 10 megawatt blocks so it can be considered like power plant capacity, and then also with respect to the expected price of energy efficiency throughout the planning period. So in the near term, one of the primary constraining factors is a series of growth caps that set absolute limits on how much efficiency can grow each year. So for years 1 through 5, they set a 25% limit. For years 6 through 15, they set a 20% limit. And for years after year 16, they set a 15% limit. Another way that they were capping the maximum amount, which came into play more later on in the planning period, is by setting a maximum number of blocks for each customer sector, residential, commercial, industrial, and then within 3 tiers, each with the second and third tier having increasingly higher prices. But the maximum number of blocks adding up between those 3 tiers and the 3 customer sectors was really about half of what they could realistically achieve. So that was another major limiting factor. And then on the pricing front, TVA started off with reasonable price inputs. Looking at ACEEE's national study, they found that programs are achieving energy savings at about 2.8 cents per kilowatt hour. TVA's experience has actually shown that they're able to achieve savings considerably below that average at 1.8 cents per kilowatt hour for gross savings. Now, TVA started off with reasonable inputs, but then added a series of escalating factors. First, as I mentioned, they had the 3 tiers, and the prices built into tiers 2 and 3 are pretty unreasonably high. And on top of that, they then added in a series of assumptions about risk for energy efficiency actually materializing like they planned. And that amounted to up to 30% price increases on top of those already high tier two and tier three prices. So just adding 30% across the board to what they're assuming going forward. And that changes a bit year to year as they ramp up and down certain risk factors that they came up with. Unfortunately, many of these risk factors don't really pass muster if you really break it down. And there are also a number of advantages that TVA has compared to utilities nationwide. And there are no assumptions here that TVA might actually do better than it's expecting. So it's really kind of tipping the scale all in the direction of assuming that it won't be able to achieve as much efficiency as it plans, and that it will be far more expensive than what TVA has achieved or what any of the utilities nationwide have been achieving. The result of that is that, you know, they're setting a max target that is only roughly 60% of what they had gone for in 2011. And so, you know, the IRP is calling for an increase from what they've actually achieved. Unfortunately, with budget cuts, they have not been on track to achieving what they set out to do in 2011. But they actually have a lower target now. And, you know, there's a very strong case that TVA could much, much more aggressively be ramping up energy efficiency, which is truly the least cost resource and the only one that's going to reduce overall system costs and significantly lower bills for ratepayers across the valley.
Great, great, thanks. Yep, great point. It's least cost for sure. And so I guess I'll end it with this last question we have here a little early. And this is actually a question I'll be asking myself because I work on the coal issues here at TVA. So basically the question is, could you speak more to the coal retirements that are both built in and potentially occurring throughout the IRP process? And so to put this in context, as we said, TVA has been really aggressive about retiring coal plants, and that's why we've seen the trajectory for their carbon emissions continually decreasing. They had a EPA, along with environmental advocates, entered into a consent agenda with EPA back in 2011, so a legal document that actually bound TVA into retiring certain coal plants. So their John Sevier coal plant in East Tennessee is already offline. The Johnsonville coal plant, located in more central Tennessee, will be going offline throughout the process and should be, I believe, fully offline by either 2016 or 2018. I can't remember. It's going off in two phases. That's a 10-unit coal plant. So that'll be a significant amount of coal going offline. The Allen coal plant in Memphis will be retiring and replaced with a natural gas plant. So that was about a 990-megawatt plant going offline. Two units up at the Paradise plant in Kentucky, in northeastern Kentucky, two of those units will be going offline. One unit will remain, but the two units combined were pretty significant megawatt capacity. So those will be going offline, replaced with natural gas. And then additionally, all of the coal plants that TVA owns in Alabama, so it operates both the Widows Creek and the Colbert coal plant, will be fully retired within the planning period. And those are the locked-in retirement announcements to date. So that will leave TVA with at least one coal plant in Kentucky and six coal plants, five, if I'm doing my math on the spot right. But, you know, their only coal plants will be Tennessee and Kentucky. And the one coal plant that is the one that's not been fully controlled as of yet in terms of environmental controls is the Shawnee coal plant, located actually outside of TVA service territory in Paducah, Kentucky. It was built to serve the USET gaseous diffusion plant, which is no longer operational, and is actually, by TVA's own admission, the Shawnee plant's not needed to serve local load. and is actually, we thought, kind of on its way to be retired already, but recently TVA has announced that they will be installing expensive pollution controls, the scrubbers, and alternate sulfur dioxide reducing technology on that plant. But in the IRP scenarios, it did show that that plant could go offline under a couple of scenarios somewhere around the 2020s, but potentially a little earlier. The Kingston and Bull Run plants were other plants that showed up in some of the scenarios as being cost-effective to retire in the later planning period. Bull Run is a smaller one-unit plant, and then you have the Kingston plant located over here next to us in Knoxville. So those really are the potentials there. TVA is scrubbing the Gallatin plant in Middle Tennessee, and the Cumberland plant in kind of mid-western Tennessee is fully controlled, and they're their largest coal plant. So TVA is reducing their coal use pretty historically from where they were, around 60%, and CEO Bill Johnson has actually said that they are aspirationally heading towards only 20% coal, so that's really a huge step for a utility that was once pretty dependent. So, you know, definitely good news, and we you know, applaud TVA for recognizing that that coal is really just not king anymore, and it's not making economic sense, and is transitioning away. So that is one major positive coming out of this IRP that I think in the 2011 IRP there was some hints of perhaps new coal, but there are none in this. And so with that, I will pass it over to Aaron and just appreciate everybody joining us as we are ending the road here on the IRP.
Thanks, Angela, and thanks everyone for joining us and for your thoughtful questions. We hope that you guys join us again and have a good rest of your afternoon. Thanks, guys.